All seven of us. Lou. Mostly everything went according to plan. It took a moment for anyone to notice us there, lifeless and forgotten on the floor. But when a hook-nosed gentleman nearly trod on Reed's foot, he yelped in surprise, then yelped louder in fear, recognition dawning over his swarthy features.
Is that... That isn't...
Reed Diggory. Yes, Jean-Luc said with a sneer, materializing beside us. He nudged my ribs with his boot, and I slipped sideways into Reed. He stiffened subtly.
And his wife, the heiress of La Dame de Sorcières. I apprehended them in a small village north of Amandine.
The sailor's eyes boggled.
All by yourself? I disabled Morgan Leblanc by myself, did I not?
Jean raised an arrogant brow at the man's spluttering.
I think you'll find anything is possible with the proper motivation.
He jerked his chin toward Seeley, who cowered in proper fashion near the helm, and added,
They had something that belonged to me.
Others had gathered around us now, wide-eyed and curious. Fear hadn't yet taken root. These men lived predominantly on the seas, where witches were little more than fairy stories compared to the very real danger of Isla and her Melusine.
Who is that, then?
Another asked, staring at Seeley.
Mademoiselle Seeley Tremblay, daughter of the Viscount. Her father is personal advisor to His Majesty.
Jean-Luc's jaw hardened.
You might have heard of him in connection to his eldest daughter, Philippa, who was murdered by witches last year. Seeley fancied herself a vigilante and went after these two herself.
At the sailor's derisive snorts, Seeley straightened her shoulders defensively, just for a second, before remembering her role. Casting her eyes downward, she heeded Jean-Luc's command when he called her over, tucking her under his arm. His hand on her shoulder clenched tighter than necessary, the only visible sign of his strain. Still, his voice oozed conceit as he added,
She's a foolish girl, but what can we expect from one so pretty?
When the men laughed, like brainless sheep, he snapped his fingers at one on the edge of the group.
Send word to her father. He shall collect and discipline her as he sees fit.
The messenger glanced at Beau with a frown.
Hers ain't the only father who'll be administering discipline.
Then he leapt from the boat and disappeared, replaced almost instantly by the harbormaster. A short, portly man with a spectacular handlebar mustache, he held himself with the ferociousness of a badger as he seized my face to examine it. He wasn't gentle. Reed's muscles tensed beneath me.
I didn't believe it,
the harbormaster growled, jerking my chin this way and that, hard enough to bruise.
But it's her, after all, the bitch witch's daughter in the flesh.
He grinned and straightened once more, turning to address Jean-Luc.
We'll alert your brethren straight away, of course, if they're not already on their way. Word like this travels quickly.
With the jerk of his hand, another sailor departed.
I'll expect some sort of commendation for allowing you to port. A dual capture, if you will.
Jean-Luc glared at him.
You dared to extort a captain of the chasseurs. Not a captain, no.
Undaunted by Jean-Luc's ire, the man crossed his arms, still grinning.
Auguste is an old friend of mine, did you know? Rumor has it you've been missed, captain.
Jean-Luc's eyes narrowed as my own stomach plunged.
What are you saying?
The man simply shrugged and glanced behind at the commotion up the street.
I expect you'll find out soon enough.
A virtual battalion of chasseurs thundered toward us on horseback, eliciting shrieks from pedestrians in their path. More and more people, sailors, fishermen, peddlers, collected around our boat now. All craned their necks from the dock to see what the fuss was about, some clapping hands over their mouths when they spotted us, others hissing through their teeth. One woman even threw a fish with unerring aim. It struck Reed's cheek before falling, dead, to the floor. Beau pretended to struggle in his binds.
That's enough! He snarled.
The harbormaster clicked his tongue.
Well, 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 your highness.
He squatted before him, examining Beau's face from every angle.
The last time I saw you, you were in nappies.
Before he could finish the rest of his humiliating diatribe, however, the first of the huntsmen reached us. I recognized him from La Mascarade de Crenne.
Philippe.
Jean-Luc scowled as the man in question, a rather large, frightening man, though not nearly so large and frightening as Reed, shouldered past him with a pointed lack of respect. Indeed, he knocked into Jean-Luc like he was a piece of furniture, sending him back two steps.
Have you lost your mind? Secure the area.
Philippe snapped and pointed as his brethren fell into place around the boat, around us. He ignored Jean-Luc completely. To the harbormaster, he said,
His Majesty arrives post-haste. He's coming here?
Jean-Luc lifted his voice above the tumult, determined to be heard. Boots jostled as the King's Guard arrived, the constabulary too, heedless of my fingers. When Philippe stepped on reeds intentionally, I heard the cruel crack of bone. Reed didn't so much as flinch.
Why? To secure the prisoners, of course, the harbormaster said. No.
Jean-Luc shook his head wildly.
No, he shouldn't travel out in the open like this. Morgane is here. She's in the city.
Philippe's smile chilled my very bones.
It isn't up to you, Jean. Not anymore.
The king arrived the next moment, at precisely the same time as Monsieur and Madame Tremblay. Absolute pandemonium ensued. The Tremblay's carriage screeched to a halt beyond the dock, and Madame Tremblay barreled straight into the barricade of soldiers, shouting for her daughter without decorum.
Célie! Célie!
She hardly noticed the guards chasing after her. Jean-Luc stepped in front of them, blocking their advance, as she enveloped her daughter in her arms.
Oh, thank God!
Control yourself, woman!
Monsieur Tremblay snarled as he too bolted on deck, skirting around Reed, me, and the barricade of chasseurs encircling us.
Have you no shame? You will apologize this instant.
I would have laughed at the spectacle they'd created if the king hadn't followed. If his eyes hadn't locked on Reed's. If he hadn't reached into his velvet pocket to extract two metal syringes.
Oh, shit. Rebonjour, fils.
His eyes moved from Reed to me, and something predatory sparked in them, something poisonous. A broad, brilliant smile transformed his face from attractive to breathtaking, quite literally. My breath caught in my throat. That smile belonged to Reed, to Beau. I knew it like the back of my own hand.
Fee.
Chasseur, soldier, and constable alike parted at his approach, and even Madame Tremblay quieted, finally realizing the precariousness of the situation. People didn't smile like that for no reason, especially kings. I hardly dared breathe as he crouched before me, as he too gripped my chin between thumb and forefinger. His touch was lighter than the harbormaster's. Indeed, he handled me like fine china, his thumb sweeping over the welts as if to soothe them.
Shh, fret not, Louise. You cannot know how I have longed for this moment.
Jean-Luc hurried to intercede.
Your Majesty, please allow me to— I will allow you nothing.
Auguste's coldly spoken words stopped Jean in his tracks. The former's gaze didn't stray from mine, however. He studied my lips as he continued.
You are henceforth stripped of your captaincy, Chasseur Toussaint. All future duties will be handled by your new captain, Philippe Brébois. Philippe?
Jean-Luc's face twisted, and he glanced between the two, his chest swelling with rage.
I have apprehended and incapacitated two of the most notorious witches in the kingdom. I have returned your son. What you have done, Auguste snapped, is disobey my direct command. Your presence at the conclave was not requested. It was required. In forfeiting your responsibilities, you have forfeited your title. I do hope she was worth it.
His lip curled as he glanced to Célie.
She is very pretty.
Jean-Luc opened and closed his mouth, near apoplectic now. Even amidst the dire circumstances, I felt a twinge of sorrow for him. In the breadth of a single moment, he thought he'd lost everything. When Auguste dropped his hand from my chin, however, flicking the first syringe, fear surpassed all other emotions. I cast a panicked glance at Jean-Luc, willing him to pull himself together.
I met your mother once, Louise, Auguste said, still tap, tap, tapping the syringe. Now she is exquisite. A diamond of the first water. It's too bad, really, that she's a soul-sucking demoness, just like your mother, he added to Reed, tilting his head to examine the quill.
A bead of hemlock trickled from its tip. My magic reared its head at the sight, white patterns unfurling all around me. They hummed with the need to protect Reed, to protect all of them. I nearly trembled with restraint. Oblivious, Auguste stroked my hair and pulled my limp body to his lap.
You look nothing like her, of course. Poor thing. All your father, aren't you?
He leaned so close that I could smell the mint on his breath.
I loathe that man. Makes this easier, I suppose. A bit too easy. When I announced Helene's execution, I knew you'd come. But I never expected this sort of weakness.
He pressed the syringe to my throat.
Your Majesty!
Though Jean-Luc didn't dare step closer, his voice rose urgently.
I re-injected the prisoners only moments before docking. If you dose them again so quickly, I fear they'll die before the stake.
Auguste lifted a golden brow.
You fear their death? A poor choice of words.
Jean-Luc ducked his head.
Please forgive me.
But Auguste's gaze had already sharpened with suspicion.
There is only one way to kill a witch huntsman, and it is not poison. You have nothing to fear. Still, however, I am benevolent. I will not dose the prisoners again.
I breathed a long, slow sigh of relief. Perhaps Auguste felt the movement. Perhaps he didn't. Either way, he gestured Jean-Luc toward us, pressing the injection into his palm before rising to his feet. He brought me with him, cradling me within his arms. My limbs dangled helplessly.
You will.
Shit, shit, shit. Jean-Luc blinked, his expression flattening.
Me, Your Majesty? Yes, huntsman, you. A great honor, is it not, to apprehend and incapacitate two of the most notorious witches in the kingdom?
The implication rang clear in the ensuing silence. Even the wind had fallen silent to listen. As if hoping to prove his suspicions, Auguste pinched the flesh of my thigh and twisted hard. I clenched my teeth against the pain. He would not break us with a pinch, nor a bruised chin or broken finger. The white patterns still writhed in fury, however. They demanded retribution. I wouldn't use them. Not yet. If I did, all would know Jean-Luc had been lying. They would know he'd betrayed them, and he really would lose everything. His coat, his Belisarda, his life. Celie would be implicated too. All seven of us. No, our plan could still work. Jean-Luc could fake the injection somehow, and we...
I am waiting, Auguste said darkly.
Though Jean-Luc fought to keep his face impassive, panic flickered within his eyes' pale depths, panic and remorse. They met mine for only a second before dropping to the syringe. In that second, I knew. He would fake nothing. He could fake nothing, not with so many eyes on us now, not under the king's very nose. Which left me with two options. I could attack the king now, and we could likely fight our way out, condemning Jean-Luc, Celie, and Madame Labelle in the process. Or I could allow the injection and trust the others to rescue us. Neither option was foolproof. Neither option guaranteed escape. With the latter, at least, we'd be in a centralized location with Madame Labelle. If they rescued one, they could rescue us all. And though Claude claimed he couldn't intervene, he wouldn't truly leave us to die, would he? I had a split second to decide before Jean plunged the quill into my throat. Sharp pain flared on impact, and the hemlock, as cold and viscous as I remembered it, spread like mire through my veins. I could just feel the warm trickle of blood before numbness crept in, before my vision faded, before Coco slipped unnoticed from the water to the Tremblay's carriage. The white patterns resisted the darkness, blazing brighter and hotter as I dimmed. Auguste held one of my eyes open, even as it rolled back into my head.
Do not fret, fee. This pain shall pass. At sunset you shall burn with my son and his mother in a lake of black fire.
When he stroked my cheek, almost tenderly, the white patterns finally softened, finally succumbed, finally dissolved into nothing. We'd gone from the belly of the beast straight into the shitter.